We often think of religious holidays as being solemn, quiet times of reflection. Who says we can also have some fun celebration, too? This is what the Jewish holiday of Purim brings about. This holiday will be observed this year, March 23rd and 24th. It's a celebration of the faithfulness of God and the survival of Israel, as told in the Old Testament book of Esther. With us this year, more full significance of the celebration is the director of Chabad of Sussex County. He's also a faculty member at the Rabbinical College of America. That's in Morristown, New Jersey. Rabbi Mendel Dubov, how are you today, Rabbi?
Thank God. Good to be with you.
Some websites for you to use, and we do have them on our homepage as well, for Chabad of Sussex County, jewishsussex.com, Rabbinical College of America, rca.edu, and the Rabbi's family website, rabbidubov.org. And again, we do have them on our homepage. So give us the background of Purim. As I said, it's based on the book of Esther, which for many Christians, we're going to the Old Testament now. So we, you know, other than Proverbs and Psalms, we're going to some uncharted territory for the Christian listener. And it's also unusual, too. Esther centers around, to a great degree, a woman. And there is no direct mention of any act of God, but certainly his presence is seen throughout the book of Esther.
Yes. So the book of Esther, the story of Purim, transpired during the Persian Empire, which, roughly speaking, we're talking about 2,500 years ago. And briefly, it's a very great read, a wonderful story for anybody who wants to read it. And briefly speaking, the Jewish people were in the Persian Empire at that time. This is 50 years after the Babylonian destruction of the temple. And they found themselves spread across the 127 provinces of the Persian Empire. And because of a series of events, a evil man called Haman decided that he wants to get rid of the Jewish people, man, woman, and child. And because of the hand of God that is not seen and not overt, but the hand of God that is there, the king had prior to that married a queen who was Jewish, Esther, and her cousin Mordechai was the leader of the Jewish people at the time. And because of the movements, the correct movements, materially and spiritually first and then materially, I should say, because of those movements, the plot of Haman was foiled, Haman was hung, the Jewish people were able to defend themselves successfully, vanquish their enemies, and we have a holiday called Purim.
One of the lessons I think we could take, especially in the here and now, is, as Haman learned, anti-Semitism doesn't pay.
Indeed. The holiday of Purim was made as the holiday that is the hallmark of God's unseen intervention. As you mentioned, God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther. It's the only book in the Hebrew Bible that does not contain an overt mention of God. The Song of Songs is kind of a runner-up, but it does have a mention. After all, the book of Esther does not have any mention. But that is the point. The point is that when God does not overtly change nature, but rather works through nature in order to be there, that is the time that we live in. With time we live in, we don't see the splitting of the sea, we don't see the manna falling from heaven, or things like that. But we know that God is working through nature in a supernatural manner. And that really is the story of Purim and the celebration of Purim. And obviously that message and those reverberations have a very, very great meaning in the here and now, as you say.
The name of the holiday itself is a twist against the anti-Semite, because Purim means lots, which is what Haman was drawing. It's basically doing a lottery to determine when he would carry out the evil that he tried to do. So to name the holiday after the act that would have brought about evil, that's a great, oh yeah, you think so, back at the people such as Haman.
Indeed. Actually, the lottery is a very interesting thing. I'll just sharpen what you mentioned. The lottery was that Haman, in the spirit of those days, wanted a auspicious day, a time that in the constellations or whatever it would be, and the metaphysical powers would be a good day, quote-unquote, to destroy the Jewish people. And he drew lots, and the lot fell on the 13th day of the month of Adar, the Hebrew month of Adar, and that is observed actually as a fast day in the Jewish community prior to the day of Purim, which is the 14th of Adar. And the lottery is significant because, you know, a lottery is something where you throw in your lot, excuse the pun, with God. You say, I don't know now, but I will do something that will have a supernatural way about it, and I will allow the supernatural or the non-natural to have a say over here. Now, obviously, that was used by Haman in the negative way, in the evil way. But a lottery has the connotation of, you know what? There's not everything. When we draw lots, we say, I don't know. I don't know, essentially. I'm going to allow the Almighty in over here in my life, and I'm going to allow him to have a say, if you'd like. And that is really why the name of the holiday was chosen, because we're dealing here, again, with the supernatural, with God, with godliness as he works within nature, as he works within our lives.
Our Rabbi Mendel Duboff, who is director of Hamas Sussex County, faculty member at the Rabbinical College of America, jewishsussex.com, rca.edu, respective websites, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So we now know the history of Purim. What are some of the elements of the celebration that the Jewish people enjoy and share with family? And it's not just for self, it's for doing others on this holiday.
Indeed. And the day is a 24-hour period. It's a one-day holiday, and there's a lot to pack in. And there's four major elements or mitzvahs, things that we do on this day. So first thing is that we recount the story, and we do so by reading the Megillah, reading, as it's called, the Book of Esther, from a parchment scroll in the original way that it was written, similar to the way we read the Torah. So we read the five books of Moses every week in the synagogue. We read the story of Purim publicly in the synagogue, both on the evening of Purim, which would be Saturday night, the 23rd, and the morning or the daytime, which is Sunday, the 24th. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we share gifts of food with others, and so people will give gifts of food minimally to one person, but customarily to many people, to family, to friends. We give gifts to the needy, and a lot of charity is distributed on Purim Day. In fact, the rule is, if somebody asks for charity on Purim Day, you shouldn't refuse. You should give everybody at least something, but much charity is distributed on that day. And fourthly, we have a meal, a party. We celebrate, we sit down to a family meal, or many communities, as we will be doing, a communal meal with festivities, with wine and liquor, and to celebrate God's miracles, to celebrate his hand as we make the blessing before reading the story, that we celebrate the time that God makes miracles in the past and in the present.
You mentioned the hand of God. Doing some background for this segment, look back at the early 1950s, Stalin, who was obviously the butcher of millions of innocent people, he had plans for dealing with the, as he called it, Jewish problem in Russia. And just as the crisis was peaking in 1953, he died during Purim. Move up to 1990, Saddam Hussein, of course, Iraq, he invaded nearby Kuwait as that pressure was ramping up, his army started firing Scud missiles. Rabbi Menachem Schneerson repeatedly said to people, we got this, God's got this. After the U.S.-led forces attacked Iraq, they were quickly victorious, and the hostilities ended on, you got it, on Purim. As you say, Rabbi, God's hand is where it needs to be, when it needs to be.
Indeed. Indeed, indeed. And those are two major events that we always remember on Purim. And the other part of it is that God works in partnership with us, and that, as in the story of Purim, the first thing that the Jewish people did, the first thing that Esther did, was to make sure that spiritually they had fixed that which was lacking. Mordechai, the Jewish leader, led a major movement of prayer. Esther, in the most amazing way, whose whole appeal to the king, to the Persian king, Ahasuerus, her whole appeal was her beauty and her grace. She joined in the fasting and the praying for 3 days, and only then walked in to the king to, you know, to say her thing and to invite him to a meal and to eventually divulge what to him that she was Jewish and what was going on. But the first thing and predominant thing they understood at that time, that the first thing is that when you have something that comes upon you, you need to look into your soul, you need to look into the connection with God, you need to tighten those bolts, you need to go where it counts. And then when you do your physical, the things that you need to do in the physical, material world, everything will work out. And really it's a message for life itself that, you know, we can do a lot of things, try a lot of things. Those things may succeed, those things may fail. When we have the blessing of God in our lives, and the blessing of God goes, frankly, with doing what God wants of us, then we know that even those things that we will try minimally, when we'll do the basic thing that needs to be done, it will be successful. And every endeavor needs success, and we can only ask for success in any endeavor, and we will have that blessing and success when we are doing what we are called to do by our Creator.
Well, the Holiday and Celebration Purim is for, of course, the Jewish people. The story, the history behind it, and certainly the story in the Book of Esther, is something that everyone of faith can certainly be made stronger by and gain from. So do spend some time in greater understanding of what is behind the Celebration of Purim. Learn more about Chabad of Sussex County, their website, jewishsussex.com. Rabbi is also a faculty member at the Rabbinical College of America, and their website is rca.edu. Rabbi Mendel Duboff, always an education speaking with you. Thank you again for being here.
Thank you, Chris. Keep up the great work.